Today is March 28th, 2021. I am Dale Erickson, and today I'm interviewing Suzette Chang over Zoom about Oklahoma Humanities and her interactions with the organization as a part of Oklahoma Humanities' 50th anniversary project. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so to get started, just tell me a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Suzette Chang. I am a native Californian adopted Oklahoman. My background is in natural and social sciences. Very fascinated not only with what human beings do, but why they do it. And so that fascination is supported with an education and career in anthropology and library sciences. You want more, or is that good?
Oh, that's good for now.
Okay.
So moving on, could you tell me a bit about your experience growing up and your early education going through high school?
So that would be in California. So my early education, I am the product of the Great Black Migration. So my family migrated from the South, specifically Texas, to California in hopes of having a better life for themselves and for myself and my siblings. And at the same time, already had family there that had the same investment. And so there was an understanding that to assimilate would be a better choice. And so I grew up in predominantly European American spaces, within the context of school. Where I grew up, and I grew up in the Bay Area. So always had access to very liberal and non-assimilative environment and spaces. However, school and church were strong foundations for my upbringing. So school life, typically I was the only melanated human being in school from, I think elementary school to almost junior high school. However, church was a very strong foundation for us. And so grew up where everyone for the most part looked like me. A major shift happened in junior high school. We moved still to predominantly European spaces. However, the school that I attended was predominantly African American. So there was definitely a shift in my experiences, even in my education. And that continued until high school. However, that educational foundation had already been set of speaking a certain way and writing a certain way and engaging a certain way. So by the time I was in high school, again, still in the Bay Area, Richmond, California, to be specific, there was just lots of different and nuanced opportunities for me to explore. I know I knew about Oklahoma at that time, but the thought of living in Oklahoma had never crossed my mind.
Okay. And so what eventually ended up bringing you to Oklahoma?
Life. So was in the Bay Area, San Francisco, East Bay, until about the late 1990s. That was when, and Oklahoma just went through it, rolling blackouts. So California was experiencing rolling blackouts at the same time there was a boom in the housing industry. And myself and many others did not see California coming down for its cost of living. So while growing up, it was, at least in my eyes, it was manageable and something that you could live with and be okay, where by the time of the mid to late 1990s, the cost of living, real estate, a variety of things were just blowing up. In addition to rolling blackouts became a staple. And so have family that lives here in Oklahoma, and a family member suggested Oklahoma. And I thought, well, I do know the cost of living is a lot cheaper there than it is here in California, so let's give it a shot. And so moved here primarily because of the cost of living and because there is family here. And at that time I had two children and was going through a divorce. And so thought, okay, there's family here. The cost of living is much more reasonable. So I will definitely give it a shot and have been here since. And that was almost 20 years ago.
Okay. Did you go to college right out of high school?
I did do some college right out of high school. At that time, college was not a good fit for me. And so I worked in various spaces in the Bay Area. I know at that time, that's when I was really getting a taste of capitalism. And that was before the big boom. And so in my eyes at that time, I just didn't see how having an education would be a benefit. However, as I got older and realized that there were many things, although economically having an education statistically, it can definitely benefit for as economics, there were a lot of other things that I missed out by not going to college or completing college, right out of high school. And so literally when moving here to Oklahoma, that was the first thing that I did and completed was to get complete my undergrad and two masters at the University of Oklahoma.
Okay. Could you tell me about your experience getting those degrees at the University of Oklahoma?
Wow. Very different than what I anticipated. I didn't take into consideration that I would be considered a quote unquote non-traditional student. So where I'm doing my undergrad with some life experience and a family compared to most, I would say actually all of my classmates, they were either right out of high school or transferring. And so it was definitely a very different experience where they were looking at which, in addition to completing their academics and their civic and social engagement, figuring out what sorority or fraternity am I going to participate in? This year I stayed in this dorm, next year I'm going to stay in this dorm. And those weren't things that were of, they were of interest to me, but being a mom with two kids, that just wasn't something that was practical, especially during undergrad. So very, very different experiences. And at the same time where most of my classmates, maybe had a part-time job. Definitely in grad school did GAs or RAs. I held down a full-time job because again, I had children that I needed to take care of. So very different experience. In addition, and it's not a good or a bad, it's just reality at that time. The disciplines that I focused on were very theory-based. And so I had at least a decade or so of practicum experience. And so that was more often than not a push-pull type of experience for me, because I'm being asked to review theory where I have these practical experiences. And although I will never push against theory, because I definitely believe it has its place, it was definitely very different for me compared to my classmates.
Yeah. So what did you end up getting your degrees in?
So my first undergrad is in African and African American studies. And then my second undergrad is in anthropology.
Okay. Were those subjects that you had interest in beforehand?
Yes. And I pause because during high school and some of the college I did in California, they weren't really. So there was my misunderstanding at that time that California was very progressive. And I'm not saying that it's not. I just didn't realize how much I did not learn until I came to Oklahoma, and more so since pursuing both of those degrees. So with the African and African American Studies degree, I learned so much about the history of Oklahoma, specifically that it was meant to be an all Black state, all the historical Black towns that are here in Oklahoma, and how that degree with the anthropology degree giving attention to social cultural anthropology, how they complemented each other. I definitely learned, pleasantly surprised, of the rich history that's here in Oklahoma that as an outsider looking in, you would not know.
Yeah, okay. And for your master's degrees, what were those in?
So I received a master's degree in library sciences. At the time, I was working for the Metropolitan Library System. And again, because of the love I have for information, thought that this would be a great opportunity to have the education to support it. And once again, although it wasn't as challenging as doing my undergrads, was reminded that I had several years of practicum experience doing the work as an associate librarian. And now I'm pursuing a master's in library sciences. And again, at that time, OU was very theory-based. And so here I am again. I've already had most, if not all, of the experiences that a librarian can have. And now I am being challenged to put that to the side and think of it from a theory. And in most disciplines, if not all, theory typically comes before practicum. So yeah, that was yet again, it's like, okay, but you've seen this before, Suzette. So don't get frustrated. Just do your best to act like you're not a librarian and learn these theories, understand where they're coming from, why they're being offered and being explored, examined, everything. And that helped.
All right. And after getting your, like after completing your master's programs, what did you go on to do?
So I finished my library sciences program. then was accepted the position. Well, let me back up. Sorry. While pursuing my undergrad in anthropology, I started a organization called Thick Descriptions. And it was truly at its infancy stage because I was working and going to school. There was not a lot of breath that I could give it because, and being a parent, my plate was somewhat full. Completed my master's in library sciences and accepted the position that I'm at right now, which is at the city of Guthrie. I'm the director of the library there. And let's see, prior to that, I think about a year prior to accepting that, started my master's in anthropology and was then able to give a lot more breath to Thick Descriptions. Then accepted the position for the city of Guthrie as the director of the library, and at the same time have been able to give a lot of attention now since then. So roughly since 2015 to present, giving a lot of attention to Thick Descriptions and to the library. Because I made the decision that having the two masters was what I needed to do in order to do the work that I'm doing.
Yeah. Could you tell me, could you just describe to me what Thick Descriptions is?
Yeah. So Thick Descriptions is a nonprofit based in Oklahoma City. We provide natural and social sciences to kids, tweens, teens, and adults. We have three initiatives to support that mission. One is called STEAM. The A for us is anthropology, and that's the purpose of STEAM for us is to bridge the learning gap for historically overlooked youth in Oklahoma. As you may know, Oklahoma ranks, we did move up. We were 48th in the country. We're now 46th. And there's still a ways that we need to go to improve education for our youth. Another initiative is called OKE, and it's Oklahoma Educators Evolve. And the purpose of that project is to give teachers the resources and tools that they need to engage youth, because there is such a push, not here just in Oklahoma, but around the country, for our youth from 4 years old to 18 and maybe even higher to be well educated. We got to make sure that our teachers know how to do that. So a lot of attention is given to methodology. And then the last one is Elephant in the Room Unboxed, which is a monthly conversation where we talk to primarily Oklahomans about those elephants in the room. Oklahoma, as I said earlier, has a very rich history. Many facts don't mirror many people's truths and vice versa. And so it's identifying those gaps and having conversations to fill them so that people can feel more comfortable addressing those elephants in the room. The term Thick Descriptions is an anthropology term, and it basically means it was coined by Clifford Geertz, who is a famous anthropologist. And it basically means that everything and everyone can be defined in a thick and descriptive way. So it pushes against this mindset that, like, for example, I'll use myself as an example. Most people, when they look at me, they see an African-American female, but they would not know that I was born and raised in California. They would not know that, and my last name is Chang. So that throws people off too, because when they see Chang, but then they see me and it's like, you know, I kind of thought you were Asian. And actually I'm married to a Jamaican. So that's just scratching the surface of who I am as a human being. Because we are a visual society, we're quick to put each other in categories. And so we're working diligently with like-minded organizations to help push against that.
Okay. Yeah. And so moving on now to Oklahoma Humanities. Mm-hmm. When was the first time you became aware of Oklahoma Humanities as an organization?
So I became aware of Oklahoma Humanities Council. I started working for the Metropolitan Library System in 2008. I want to say by 2010, I was aware of it. The Metropolitan Library System and OHC, to my knowledge, always had a really good relationship, because libraries is where information lives, and the Humanities Council is not only about making sure that information is made available, also identifying the humanities within that information and doing their best to make that accessible. So it's been at least over 10 years when I first became aware of the Humanities Council.
Okay. And what were your first interactions with Oklahoma Humanities like?
So my first interactions was through our outreach department. The Metropolitan Library System at that time had a very robust outreach department. And so the way Metro was set up at that time, each library was very committed to working with and engaging the community that it served. So perfect example, Ralph Ellison Library, which is on the northeast side of Oklahoma City, and its primary demographics are African-American, possibly low-income, socioeconomic, completely different than Edmond Library, which is a more affluent, primarily European-American community. And so at that time, the powers that be, even within outreach, were very committed that whatever library you worked at, that you worked with the community that you served. So I worked at the Midwest City Library, which has a strong military presence because of Tinker. And it's where, for example, as I said earlier, Ralph Ellison has a certain type of demographics. Midwest City had a far more diverse, not just in ethnicity, but in socioeconomics and a variety of others. And so while working with the outreach department at that time, it was identifying ways that we could partner with the Oklahoma Humanities Council and speaking to the humanities of the Midwest City, Dell City area. And so I remember having very rich conversations, not only with outreach, with my manager and with others, of how can we make this a great partnership in which the community can glean from the information that they may have overlooked or they may not know exists.
Okay. And so what was your transition to becoming a part of the Oklahoma Humanities Board of Trustees like?
It was a very unique and powerful experience for me. So after graduating from with my master's in anthropology, it became very important to me to identify ways to give back and give back in a way that could speak to the different cultures, the different experiences that make Oklahoma what it is. And sat down with a dear friend of mine and said to her, basically what I just said, you know, I want to give back. I'm not sure how to do that. And she said to me, have you thought about serving on a board? And I said, well, yeah, I don't have a lot of board experience. I'm open to learning and understanding. And she says, well, I think you should look at the Humanities Council more so because of your background in anthropology and your background in librarianship. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that as an opportunity to give back. And I'm open. And so I literally reached out to Governor Fallon, was the governor at that time, reached out to her group of people that are responsible for boards and excuse me, and said, you know, I would like to serve. Do you think that this would be a good fit? And so we met and we talked, and I don't remember what the time frame was, but it wasn't long. I was told that my request to serve had been approved, and was and still am very grateful for the opportunity. I still remember being a little shell-shocked because, again, I had never served on a board. And one thing, as a librarian and an anthropologist, I get that culture is extremely important. There are components, we all operate in cultures, and typically you don't understand what the culture is until you have been a part of it for a while. And so not only was it becoming, and at the time, Anne was the executive director. And I sat down with her and told her, you know, thank you. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. And I need you to know that I've never served on a board. I understand that culture is extremely important. I understand components of culture are verbal and nonverbal understandings. And so if it's all right with you for a little time, if I can just kind of sit back and have my anthropologist hat on and kind of observe of what is expected. And yes, you know, I get that there are rules and policies and procedures, and I'll definitely read those and get a better understanding. And I need to be able to get an understanding of how this board operates. Because as you know, the Humanities Council, it has and is a staple of Oklahoma, not just from the perspective of the humanities, also culture and identity and experiences and understandings, and also knowing how long that the Humanities Council has been around, is just like, okay, this is a lot. So let me just kind of sit back and, you know, I'll definitely be involved, but if you don't hear me talking a lot, it's because I'm taking all of this in. And so, yeah, it's definitely been a wonderful experience. Have got to know some wonderful people, have been able to connect with other humanities councils around the country. So yeah, a wonderful experience.
Yeah. So what was that first period of being on the board like, where you're just trying to, you know, take in what the board is about?
Initially, it was a little anxiety driven, or not driven, and it was a little anxious for me because, again, not knowing the culture initially, it was, and again, being an anthropologist, I have learned when coming into something that is new to me, to not come in talking and saying what I think should happen and so on and so forth. It's definitely getting an understanding of how things operate. And then with the assistance of the executive board and the board itself and staff and the executive director of what is my part in this or parts in this, how can I contribute? And so that's how my experience was initially. It was being very methodical and strategic about wanting to be a part, being a part, but and doing it in a way that was not abrasive or offensive or off-putting. My desire is to give the very best I can. And if that means, and I, over the years, I've learned sometimes, more often than not, silence and observation is probably a better choice. And it seems to have worked very well.
All right. Yeah. You've mentioned, you know, culture a whole lot. How would you describe the culture of the Oklahoma Humanities Board of Trustees?
I would describe it as very much invested in Oklahoma. Very much with a commitment to all narratives being shared and accessible to all. Very committed to leaving a long-lasting thumbprint of what it means to be an Oklahoman, with an understanding that there is a very long history of Oklahoma and never letting that history go, at the same time embracing the present and identifying opportunities to be engaged in the future. Very much of a commitment to innovation, very much committed to contemporary and traditional understandings and finding a marriage between those two. Yes, that's how I would define the culture of the Humanities Council.
Okay. And during your time as a member of the Board of Trustees, what sort of work or responsibilities have you had?
So far I've had the privilege of serving, I think the first 1st endeavor that I participated in was when the previous executive director said that she would be retiring. And so I had the opportunity to serve on the search committee. And our chair at that time brought a lot of wealth and information about what that looks like. It was a lengthy process. And so had that, and not only was it a privilege, it was an honor to serve on that particular project. And I think that was my first time of participating in something like that, where I got to see the back end of what it is like to do an executive search. I've also served on the programming committee. In fact, that was my 2nd, I think. Now I serve as the chair for that. And so that's been a very unique and engaging experience as well, to be more involved with staff, with Oklahoma Humanities staff, on how programming operates. What projects are speaking to the identity of Oklahoma. So yeah, that's been a very powerful experience. And so now I am the vice president for the board. And so that's been a very unique experience as well. Again, seeing some things that are behind the scenes as it relates to how the executive committee operates, what the expectations are, have had conversations with current and past presidents of, you know, what does that look like for you? What has your experience been? So it's been a very, very interesting experience. There's no way in the world you would have ever told me moving to Oklahoma that this is what I would be doing. Never. But I'm enjoying it. I it's just a wonderful opportunity to serve.
Yeah, that's all great. Could you tell me a bit about what like the work that went into the search committee when you were a part of it was like?
So if I'm not mistaken, and that's been a couple of years, so forgive me if I miss anything.
That's fine.
It was identifying the job description at that time, reviewing it to determine if there were areas that needed to remain the same, or if there was something that needed to be added, maybe it had been overlooked. Because I want to say the previous executive director had been in that position for a while. She did a wonderful job. And I want to say that the job description had not been, it was time for it to be reviewed and or updated. Then it was being really clear, because it was a committee of us, of figuring out who would be responsible for what. Because this was an executive search, making sure that the practices and protocols that we as an executive committee would execute, if that was meeting the standard, not just for Oklahoma, but for other humanities councils that did executive search and or other organizations that do similar work to the Oklahoma Humanities Council. So I remember there being quite a few meetings. This was before before the pandemic hit. So I do remember us doing quite a few, if not Zoom, but other virtual meetings, because it was a very robust group of individuals that were very committed to making sure that the quote unquote passing of the baton went in a very smooth way. Then I had the pleasure of reviewing applications, helping to make decisions if they were a good fit. We went through several rounds of interviews, be it phone interviews, and then eventually face-to-face, and then making that final decision. So yeah, that was and is a very unique experience for me.
Okay. And yeah, could you also tell me about the work that you've done as a part of the programming committee?
Yes. So one commitment that the program committee has, meaning past and present, is identifying ways for not only for there to be a nuanced understanding of the mission and purpose of the Humanities Council, when there are partnerships with Oklahoma-based organizations. It's also making sure that there is a reciprocal relationship. And that those forms of reciprocity obviously look different based on the organization, because Oklahoma is so very diverse, meaning we have several very rich metropolitan areas, and we have so many rural communities, and then we have communities that are transitioning from being rural to being metropolitan, or maybe they're a contemporary rural. I've noticed even within the Humanities Council programming and in other spaces, that there are quite a few rural communities that are making that transition, and they technically don't have a quote unquote label or name. I'm coming up with the term of transitioning rural or contemporary rural, but there are just so many others. And so with those different partnerships, it's making sure that those different communities understand. I am confident they understand the value of the Humanities Council, making sure that they understand how the Humanities Council, specifically within the context of programming, wants to have an ongoing and continuing relationship with them. So this is not about checking a box or anything like that. It's truly having connection. The library historically has been a platform for that to happen. However, in many rural areas, there is no library. So it's figuring out how to develop and maintain those relationships in spaces where libraries don't exist, and they understand that our commitment to and with them is for a very long time.
Okay. Yeah, and has becoming chair of the programming committee changed the work that you do for it at all?
I wouldn't necessarily say there's been a change. There has definitely been a shift, because it is working with like-minded team members that want to see those same things happen and happen as consistently as possible. And I purposely use the word consistently because the pandemic, it definitely made an impact on how programming has been offered through the Oklahoma Humanities Council. Because there are just some spaces throughout the state, regardless if it's rural or metropolitan, where having a virtual presence became problematic. And so how do you execute programs when there is no way to do it? Because obviously we couldn't do face-to-face. And if having a virtual presence isn't an option for you for whatever reason, then we're kind of on pause for a little bit. So yeah.
Yeah, pandemic definitely throws a wrench into everything. But could you tell me how you came to be the vice president for the board?
So I expressed an interest and I asked. So I think, and I bold and underline think, when I first started as a board member and asked how would I like to serve, I was really upfront that I would like to observe, be a part of as many conversations as possible, have a better understanding of the culture of the board, and expressed interest in being on as many committees as I could be over time. So if being on the board meant being a board member and serving on maybe one or two committees per year, that I can manage. Pretty sure that I expressed an interest in serving on the executive committee, and giving back as much as I could within that context. At the same time, as I said earlier, when I first started, there was a previous executive director. I'm pretty sure she said, I see that you've expressed an interest in being on different committees. Would you ever be interested in serving on the executive board? And if so, in what capacity? And I said, well, yes, I would be open to that. I would welcome the opportunity to serve in any capacity that my skill set will support. Just know that, again, if it's something that's new to me, that I would prefer to observe, glean as much as I possibly can, and then execute. And that I'm pretty sure that is the reasons why I was given the opportunity to be the vice president. Because I think I've been with the Humanities Council. This is 2021. I think this may be my fourth year, I think.
All right. Yeah. So what are the duties of both the executive committee and the vice president position specifically?
So the duties of the executive committee are to basically be a support to the executive director and to staff as it relates to the execution, the management. Basically, in many ways, we serve as an advisory, and being whatever support that we can be for staff. So we meet, we talk about the finances, we talk about the direction of the organization. We talk about strategic plans and goals. We talk about ways for the organization to be sustainable. As the vice president, my role is to be a support, not only in those capacities that I've identified, also to be a support to the president. So the president of the board, I believe she took the position because the previous president stepped down. And I want to say the current president took the role. I know it hasn't been a year. And so just being whatever support I can be to and for her, in addition to the staff and to the rest of the board.
Okay. We're getting close to about 10 minutes to an hour for this interview. Okay. So at this point, I'd like to just sort of give you the floor to talk about anything about the importance of Oklahoma Humanities and the work that they do, or even just the humanities in general.
Well, I know that the work of the Oklahoma Humanities Council is extremely important. And I say that not just from the context of what I've shared earlier, meaning there's so much about Oklahoma that many Oklahomans don't know, let alone non-Oklahomans. But it is this very strong commitment and a very strong understanding that humanities is everywhere. And I'm going to date myself a little bit. Historically, the sciences, there's been a lot of attention given to the natural sciences. So biology and chemistry and the quote unquote hard sciences. And with the humanities, it was historically identified as the soft sciences. And there was almost it was as if one was more important than the other. And so why the Oklahoma Humanities Council is so important is because it's helping to push against that understanding of one, of hierarchy, and two, helping people to understand, again, as I said a moment ago, that the humanities is everywhere. It is how we speak. It is how we engage with each other. It is how we view the world, be it individually or collectively. And so coming from that, those perspectives, it's extremely important that the humanities, specifically the Oklahoma Humanities Council, continues to work with and engage with organizations, be it within Oklahoma and outside, to help share those stories, to share those narratives, to share those experiences, so that Oklahoma can truly can and continue to be viewed and seen as the very nuanced state that it is.
Okay. And I guess that's sort of a final question. What have your thoughts been from your time serving on the board of Oklahoma Humanities?
This has been one of the best experiences I've had. The board has and continues to be very welcoming. The staff as well. Every opportunity that we have to enrich the understanding of what it means to be an Oklahoman, we embrace it. We work with other organizations to unpack it. It's just been a very wonderful and beautiful experience.
All right. Well, I think we've covered all that I wanted to. So unless you have anything else that you wish to share.
I do not.